time now for The Best of Ourselves with Marcia Hyatt. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning, CJ.
What a nice, moist, foggy morning we're having.
We're all moistened, which is lovely. Better than being parched, for
That's
sure.
So
especially
true.
Up here.
That's right.
I want to talk about rejoicement therapy.
I love that.
It's a term that was in Pema Chodron's book, From No Time to Lose, by Dzhigar Kundral. And he talks about rejoicement therapy. So I'll tell you how this wasn't, I didn't intend to have this be my theme for the week, but you know how things happen in a week,
yeah.
And then you start noticing, and then you see more and more and more. So at the beginning of the week, I was listening to the radio, and the an announcer was interviewing a public official, and you know just how things are, and things are tough. Mm-hmm. Things are economically tough, hard. And at the end of the interview, that everyone thought was done, the announcer said, "Can I just say something?" And he just said, "I want to acknowledge how difficult it is to be cutting all the time and dealing with all this tough stuff, and thank you." And honestly, I don't know if anybody else out in the listening audience just took a deep breath, but it was just like, wow, that was just a lovely moment of humanity, mm-hmm. and appreciation, mm-hmm. and how that warms the heart and it softens all of us, really,
yeah.
when we experience it, witness it. It wasn't even, it had nothing to do with me, but to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a George Eliot quote, "What do we live for if not to make life less difficult for each other?"
Mm.
And so that's kind of the theme that's the theme that's been sort of popping up. And I've just been so grateful for that theme popping up. So another way it showed up was my friend Lori's Facebook post. She had this Facebook post: "Is one way to guarantee happiness is to rejoice in the good qualities of others. Not only is this an antidote for envy, it also generates warmth and brings us heartfelt joy. When we begin to appreciate the kindness and courage of others, we find pleasure everywhere." And that's also for Pema Chodron's book, "That No Time to Lose." So the concept of rejoicement therapy, and we know this from positive psychology, is one that of all the research. This is in Martin Seligman's book, Flourish. All the research they do about what promotes a sense of well-being and happiness, the one that always gets the best results is when people do a kindness to someone else. But, you know, it sounds just so easy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. It isn't to do it from that genuine place. I know that in my leadership role early on, you know, you go to these classes and they say you should appreciate people. It's like, oh, okay, I'll put that on my to-do list. and I'm sorry to say that that's literally true. Because, you know, I know it's not just my family system, but my family and I are very good at critique, very good at judgment. And I know that that's how our brains work as well. So we see the negative and we focus on it and fix it. And we got to do something about this. And so appreciate people. Oh, okay. I put that in my calendar again. You know, nothing. This is just kind of moments of shame here. I'm experiencing. But and then I didn't know how to do it. And it's like, oh, nice haircut. You know, like what does that mean? Or I do it from the motivation as I want you to like me. I do it from the motivation as I'm supposed to, as opposed to the rejoicement therapy notion, which is you're noticing, acknowledging, and appreciating, and not making it about you so much, you know, but just really, I saw how you did that, and it, I saw how you stopped the interview and acknowledged that person, and
yeah.
I really, really appreciate that.
It brings to mind, okay, this is kind of corny, but it brings to mind the thing that I loved about the movie Avatar. Okay, so the characters, the little blue beings, the big blue beings that existed on this world, how they greeted each other was, "I see you."
Yes.
I just love that. That was the part of the movie that I just,
that's
so cool.
You know, that's so funny because that same thing came to my mind. I was looking this morning because that's also an African greeting. "I see you." And in the African culture that I've read is that that's a way to sort of bring you into being, because if you're not seen, you're not there, wholly
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to find, I could not find, I know it's the book, The Other 90%, but in Southeast Asia, there's a greeting that's something like, "I see the divine in you."
Oh, wow, nice.
And it might be namaste, which is sort of like, "I bow to you." I'm not sure if that was it, but that, yeah, that even that, it is exactly that. It's like, it's a way of really seeing and honoring and doing it from a place of honor, not a place of sympathy or not
yeah.
a place of should. I mean, I know, go ahead.
Well, for me too, it's kind of coming from a place of not being so scattered, you know, like saying hi to somebody while you're looking someplace else and thinking about the next thing you're going to do.
Yeah.
It brings everything into focus. I see you.
Yeah.
You know, I am focused on you for this moment. You know, I loved it.
It's a great epitome of this whole process, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed you, I acknowledge you, I appreciate you. And whether it's in the way we greet each other, which is true. I mean, there's lots of times, and again, I am not a rock star at this stuff. I am an apprentice at this stuff. But a lot of times, you know, in the grocery store, you'd see the difference. It's like, yeah, hi. And as opposed to, oh, hi. I haven't seen you since the snow, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a different heartwarming. And I watched it on, this is a friend pointed out in a movie, just even watching in a movie. I watched a character in the movie acknowledge the other person and empathize, not sympathize, real critical, different, empathize, mm-hmm. meaning I walk in your shoes, I understand that pain,
mm-hmm.
empathy. And you see the softening that happens. But the problem is you can't do it as a manipulative thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because it doesn't land. It just doesn't land. Now, you maybe get away for a little bit with that, but back to positive psychology, if you are saying more than 13-1 positives, then people don't believe anything you say. And I used to have a boss like that. She was always, you know, what I think in trying to be encouraging, but it had no grounding or no root. And the other thing that I know I used to do wrong is I would acknowledge people by telling them who they were. You are so smart, or you are really fast, or whatever. As opposed to saying, you know, here's what I noticed, and here's what my experience was of that. It's a subtle difference,
mm-hmm.
but it's truly, again, it's about seeing you, not about by how I experienced you. And it's just a lot of hunger for rejoicement therapy in our mm-hmm. world. As Mother Teresa said, there's more hunger in the world for love and appreciation than for bread. We think about that. That's huge, and she would know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that in terms of what could I do, how could I increase my appreciation just a little bit more in the world? The other thing that came, I get a periodic mailing from this website called World Grace Project, and this one was about appreciating others. And this is a quote from the World Grace Project website. I love getting to the heart of the matter. I love that we get to love each other with each action we take in every ordinary moment of our lives. And it's true. It's selfish in a way. We enrich our own lives by taking that time to acknowledge others. But the place to start, again, I can't do it if I'm depleted. I can't do it if I'm needy. I have to do it and I can't do it if I can't take in appreciation of me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I blow off, everybody's like, oh, that, you know, I really appreciate what you
this
did about
whole
that.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. That's a place to start, because if you can take it in, and then you perhaps more genuinely can bring it out as well. So allowing yourself to fill up so that it's coming from a grounded, centered place, as opposed to a needy, manipulative, or, you know, mm-hmm. just not as solid of a place. So take the time. And it might be, you know, again, if you're an apprentice like me on this stuff, it might mean that you have to think back. I may not catch it in the moment, but I can, when I'm journaling or at the end of the week, think, what happened this week that that I want to acknowledge or appreciate? And because I'm an apprentice on this, I try to put that into my practice. And, you know, like I sent some handwritten thank you notes last week to people that they wrote, got emails right away, like, wow, something handwritten, you know, that was great. But just whatever's right for you to take that time. And remember, we're talking about empathy here or acknowledgement. So you're not telling people who they are, but you're just talking about what you have witnessed and appreciating and honoring that. Again, ending with the George Eliot quote, what do we live for if not to make the make life less difficult for each other?
Hmm.
How do I appreciate the people around me just a little bit more?